The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Welcome to Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. That means it's a great time for you to check in. 770-5633-770-KMED. My email is bill@billmyersshow.com. Read them all. Try to answer as many as I can. I always appreciate you listening wherever you happen to be. 106.3 in greater Jackson County here, 106.7 in South Jackson County, 105.9 North Jackson County into Josephine County, Rogue River, you know, that sort of area too, and the city of Grants Pass on the translator, and also 99.3 KBXG, and of course, KMED.com, where you can stream online. I appreciate that. By the way, some people were asking me a while back, Bill, we'll be listening to you, and then all of a sudden, on the stream, we'll be listening to you on the stream, and then a commercial will just play in the middle of something that you are saying, or you're in the middle of a guest or something, and all of a sudden a commercial just dumps on and gets all over you. And why are you doing that? And then I find out, I say, well, how are you listening? Because I know the way it works on KMED.com, when you stream from the website, you just get the stream of the radio station. Yeah, there's an initial ad when it starts, but other than that, that's all there is. And other than that, then there's the commercials that are just part of our regular terrestrial broadcasting. And people were saying, well, yeah, just kind of the commercials will just dump all over what you're doing. And then I find out that they're listening to some other app, and it's usually something like a TuneIn. They'll get the TuneIn radio app. And the TuneIn radio app, you know, pretty popular, you know, a lot of people have it. And essentially what TuneIn and other similar companies do is that they grab our stream and then rebroadcast it on the web and kind of take it as their own. And in order to pay for that, they throw their own ads on it indiscriminately. And it just jumps all over what we're doing. So if you ever have that problem, it's because you're listening to someone's app rather than just going to our website, which acts like the app. All right, just go to KMED.com, and then you won't have any excess commercials that are greater than any of the commercials that we're doing here right now. In other words, no more commercials than what we're doing here to help our sponsors here and help commerce in Southern Oregon. Okay, so I just wanted to let you know that I didn't realize that I've never used the TuneIn app. I don't do that kind of stuff. I just go to the website when I won that. But I just wanted to explain just a little bit of inside baseball. That's what's going on. If you've had that problem, and people have sometimes been listening to TuneIn using the TuneIn app for years, and then wondering, you know, gosh, why are they always putting all the ads in the middle of what Bill's saying? It's like, yeah, that would be irritating. I could get that. Heck, I'd be irritated if I was listening to a station and that was going on. So just go to KMED.com. We'll take care of that. On Friday, I first started talking about the order of love philosophy, you know, the great Catholic philosophers, Aquinas and St. Augustine. And it was because of an article that I had read on The Daily Reckoning, which is a financial blog. But, you know, the guy was Sean Ring, who is one of the reporters there, was writing about J.D. Vance a couple of months ago, and there was all of that controversy about J.D. Vance taking on, disagreeing with the Pope, even though he's Catholic and moving along, and this whole idea that you care about the stranger more than your own people, and that's where the Democrats are right now. That's really where the political left has kind of put down its flag right now, as we care about the distant stranger, the invader, more than we care about our own people. I don't know if that's a winning political slogan or a political marketing kind of thing. It sounds like a really bad idea to me. But you look back at, and the only reason I was talking about, the Catholic faith here is that I used to be a Catholic. I'm not really a good Catholic anymore. I'm sorry. I never was a great Catholic. I was just Catholic as a child, but and then sort of fell away from it. But the philosophies I thought were sound. And I talked a lot about that as when it comes to immigration policy, when it comes to even charity, that you know, with charity, you have to take care of the order of love. And you look at Augustine and Aquinas and these great thinkers. And I didn't think that there was anything all that controversial about it. And a lot of people were asking me, Bill, could you share the link to that article? And so I put it on my Facebook page last night. And lo and behold, I'm surprised how controversial that this whole order of love issue was with some people. And there was one gentleman named Philip Emerson, he wrote here. And by the way, if you've missed this talk that we've been having about the order of love, it's the priority. In other words, it's prioritizing your resources, making sure that you take care of the people who count the most and have the tightest social bonds with you. And once again, you can kind of sum up the priority of love in life, in a culture. God above all, highest love due to God. You then love yourself, a properly ordered self, in other words, healthy self. You love your family and your kin. Your natural obligations to parents and spouses and children taking precedence over other people. I mean, the family is the basic unit, right? You then have your love for your community, your city, your county, your state, and your nation. A just love for your homeland and your people. These are natural bonds here. And then, last, strangers and humanity at large. Strangers and humanity at large, that's last. Charity extends to all, but not at the expense of the higher obligations. So you have the illegal aliens coming into your town, let's say as an example, and so you give up your home and you don't feed your own children so that you feed their children. No, that's not the way that works, because there is the priority of love. I didn't think this was controversial at all. It sounds like it's not only good thinking, but good common sense. And there is a good spiritual underpinning of this too, universal love for all, but they don't have universal access to you and your resources, including your land, your people, you know, that kind of thing. All right. I didn't think this was controversial. And Philip Emerson writes on my page yesterday, Bill, fine if your religion is materialism. The Daily Reckoning is a rag, and the Gospel of Vance, who has been a Catholic since lunchtime, was roundly refuted by the Pope. But thanks for the disrespect, Bill, showing us your true color, orange. That kind of shocked me. Because when I was sharing this, we're talking about thinking and writings that go back hundreds of years. This is nothing that started with J.D. Vance or with the Donald Trump administration. These are old principles, old sound religious and spiritual principles in which you take care of that which is closest to you first before you start branching out and then just, inviting the hordes in. You have to protect your own. It seems perfectly reasonable to me, but it is, but it's really controversial for some people. And the fact that Philip was actually using Pope Francis's, the late Pope Francis's refuting of that, or, you know, disagreeing with J.D. Vance. The thing is, I don't know if Philip realizes it. Maybe he does, but Pope Francis is considered by many conservative Catholics, they write me all the time, as a heretic pope. They thought of his reign, his papacy, as a heresy, really. And I would just remind Philip and other people that were wondering how I could dare, you know, question what the Pope was saying, you know, that sort of thing. Like I said, I'm only a baby theologian, which means I'm not a theologian, okay? Just understand, I'm just a regular guy here looking at stuff and reading things and just evaluating it just like you do at home. The Epoch Time article yesterday, I had saved it yesterday, it was talking about the death of Pope Francis, and they talked about the many disputes during his papacy. And it's a pretty good idea to remind ourselves of just how controversial this pope was. Some of his teachings on compassion, especially recent letters instructing on the blessing of homosexual couples, his stance against the U.S. crackdown on illegal immigration. So once again, he's against the order of love. He's going against his own Catholic philosopher teachings, right? But anyway, and his criticisms of capitalism sparked dissent among conservative Christians, particularly in the United States, some going so far as to label him a Marxist. Now, Francis kind of copped to this. Francis addressed and defended allegations that he was a Marxist and a communist, saying in an interview, "If I see the gospel in a sociological way only, yes, I am a communist, and so too is Jesus." Behind these Beatitudes in Matthew 25, there is a message that is Jesus' own, and that is to be a Christian. The communists stole some of our Christian values. Oh, really? All right. He also held fast through his reign to a level of tolerance of other faiths and practices in conflict with those of the church, sparking concern among many practicing Catholics that he had fallen into a moral relativism that sees all religions as equally right and proper. Another controversy in his papacy, speaking to priests, nuns, and lay church leaders in Indonesia in September 2024, he said, "This is important because proclaiming the gospel doesn't mean imposing our faith or placing it in opposition to that of others, but giving and sharing the joy of encountering Christ always with great respect and fraternal affection." Francis also entered into agreements with China's ruling Communist Party, Chinese Communist Party, that gave it a say. In other words, the communist, godless government had the say in who was appointed to serve as bishops in China. And that was a stark contrast to the reign of Pope St. John Paul II, during which the Catholic Church, especially in Europe, was seen as a weapon against the atheistic communist regimes. So we hope the Pope rests in peace, but Pope Francis, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, and remember, baby theologian, which means I'm not a theologian, that was a Marxist pope, in my view. Not my favorite of the popes that have been running by through my lifetime. Just saying. Okay? It's 22 minutes after 6. So, Philip, I'm sorry if I offended you there, but what I was talking about was not Orange Man philosophy. It was actually deep-thinking Catholic philosophers of the past and saints, St. Augustine. Just saying. It's 22 minutes after 6.
The Oregon court has deemed Measure 1...
Deal.com. I'm saving big.
Hi, I'm Deb with Father and Son Jewelry, and I'm on KMED.
24 after 6, 770-5633. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Let me just roll into Tom. Hello, Tom. Good to hear from you in Talon. What's up?
Well, Bill, that was great. I have to agree with everything you said there. I do think our...
Oh, it's just back on that order of love issue and the problem with the Pope and everything else. What?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think our Bill of Rights is dependent, is founded upon basically the Ten Commandments. Don't lie, cheat, steal, kill, covet. And yet the whole leftist agenda is based upon a refutation of those basic principles. And the order of love is right in alignment with the Bill of Rights and also with the Ten Commandments.
You know, there's something in the order of love that I forgot to mention that my wife, who had read the same article, Linda, was reading the article because after I posted it, because I made it easy for people to see it. And what was what I forgot to mention in there is a caution against pathological altruism. Pathological altruism. In other words, you're just giving to everything, no matter what, no judgment passed on this whatsoever. And if I had to ascribe a political party that was more into pathological altruism, that would have to be the modern Democratic Party and the modern left, and how, you know, there is no judgment for anything. You just give to the detriment to your own people, I guess. And that's really the problem. I mean,
that's an excellent term, and I agree with it. And I see where the Pope went off. It's like so many Democrats in the whole process of communism and so forth. And I've said this just recently, but, you know, the sharing of wealth, of charity, you have the government gun in the ribs with communism, with the Democrat Party and so forth. They believe in coerced charity.
Indeed.
And that's the pathological altruism that you're referring to. And you know, there's whole Christian communities or groups that call themselves Christian socialists. Those two terms are mutually exclusive because really morality in Christ was upon voluntary charity and so forth, not coerced. But when you have coerced charity, that is the government gun in the ribs. That's where the Pope went off the rails in terms of the difference between Christ and Karl Marx.
And it's important to understand that the late Pope Francis was extremely controversial. I know everyone's saying nice things about him now because he just passed away and the world leaders are coming out. It's the standard thing, just like you can have the worst president ever that finally dies and then everybody talks about it, you know, as if he was Jesus himself, you know, that kind of thing. It's just what happens.
You know? Yeah, I don't know what it's going to take for people to, you know, see this difference between coerced and the government gun in the ribs charity versus really coming from spontaneous. And a long time ago, I read an article. I'll say it again. When they found that the government gave a dollar to a poor person, it took $3 to put $1 in the hands of a poor person.
That's right. There's all that government friction to set up the bureaucracy to do that.
Yeah, and then when a charity organization did it, it took $1 to get $1 in the hands. But when a church did it, it took 8 cents to put $1 in the hands of a poor person. And, you know, the church, that was all voluntary. And that's the way charity should be. Our whole thing about coerced charity is off the beam, and that's where we've fallen off the rails.
And the weakness of today's church, I think, is also contributed to then the growth of government, because then government, well, we better step in. We better step in. Or is it maybe because the government has grabbed so much wealth from people, then they don't feel the need to donate to charity? Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Well, that's certainly part of it, because, you know, when you have, I go back to everything, the fiat, funny money system, but that removes our choices of where the money goes. So the government can say, hey, we need to go blow up Ukraine, and
exactly.
We don't have any say-so in it.
Yeah, some charity.
Government is God for the leftists.
All right, indeed. And that is a problem. That is a sickness, unfortunately. And that's something we've been working on here a long time. Thank you for the call, Tom, as always. Let me go to Vicky. Vicky's in the Applegate. Vicky, you want to talk about Roosh. What's going on in Roosh that you wanted to bring up this morning?
Huh? Well, I had two quick things about Roosh. The first thing is I was listening to the doctor yesterday talk about Phoenix, and I think it would be really cool if he could do a piece about the past and present of Roosh, because it really has changed just immensely since I've lived out here since 96.
What's an example of a change? Because we do talk about where past meets present, founding, and where it is now, that kind of thing.
Well, first of all, the logging has changed. It's starting to kind of come back a little bit. But the main thing is, like, all the tourism for the wine country and just the different types of people that are moving out here, the houses they're building, they're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it just, you know, you go to Roosh Market and that's about the only thing that stayed the same, but everything around us has changed. So
how has the Applegate Christian Fellowship changed in Roosh, you think?
Oh my God, do you really want me to talk about them?
Is that a problem? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring up a sore spot. Yeah. I'm just kind of curious, that's all.
I am not a fan of, I mean, I'm godly, but I am not a fan of that church.
Really?
Like I said, I've lived out here a long time, and we had some issues with them when I lived closer to Roosh. And
would you just assume stay quiet? Is that what you're getting at?
I don't really want to say too much.
Okay,
you live out here, and there's a lot of people that attend that church, and I don't want them to be biased against me just because I don't agree with.
Okay, all right, I get it. All right.
The second thing is, oh my God, Bill, I am pulling a boulder out of my shoe, not a pebble, but a boulder.
Over what?
The second thing is that they're finally putting fiber optics out here for us.
Oh, Hunter is out there? Is it Hunter or Spectrum?
I'm not sure. It's just a bunch of equipment, but they're laying a bunch of orange line down. And so I've had problems with my phone ever since I moved out here. And especially on the road I live on, it's the phone service sucks. And so they are finally putting in fiber optics. They've been working for like a couple weeks now.
Boy, that ought to take care of whatever problems. You know, you end up getting voice over internet on fiber optic on a fiber, whether it's Hunter or Spectrum. Now, I understand, I think Spectrum, if they're going out there, is now putting in fiber where there used to be cable, is what I'm hearing now. Everyone's going to the fiber if they can. That should take care of issues because cellular reception, cellular service in Rouge and Applegate area, you know, out through Williams, not that great out in the Applegate. We know that.
No, and just a quick thing. There was a book that John and Marguerite Black wrote about the Applegate. It goes way back before the dam, before, I mean, around, just a total history of the Applegate.
Hey, could you send me a note about that, email that to me, okay?
And Rouge used to be spelled R-O-O-S-E, which I thought was really interesting.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Send me a note about the book, and then we'll see about moving that in, okay?
Okay.
See if we can make that part of it. Thank you. Okay. Let me go to next line here. Hi, Before News. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Lauren in Eagle Point.
Hi, Lauren. What's going on with you today?
Well, I wanted to talk about the situation with the Pope that you referred to.
Sure, sure.
And the thing that drove me crazy about some his proclamations is he forgot that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me," and that he was the only way. And that's the belief that the Christian faith has had for 2,000 years now. And yet he seemed to turn that upside down. And, you know, even Jesus had told people, well, you got to do this in order to come and go home and go and sell everything. And
yeah, there are some rules in the club, right, so to speak.
That's exactly right. And so I think some of the Roman Catholic Church stuff that they pulled is threw that out the window. That's my extended opinion as an ordained pastor. And so, but
yeah, well, I know that Reverend David wrote me, you know, and he's a... Yeah, and he's certainly all over this one. He thought that, in his opinion, this particular pope was a heretic. I know that may not sound a very nice thing to say, but they were saying that for years now. It's nothing particularly new. And and just because he has passed away doesn't mean that the issues that he promoted at that point still weren't a problem. And it would appear to have gone even against his own Catholic philosophers when it came to the order of love and the order of priority. He was truly what I would term a globalist pope, really. Globalist.
Definitely so.
And definitely into globalism, and that's not playing too well at the moment. I appreciate the call there. Thank you, Lauren. It's 6:34 at KMED. Hi, it's Bill Meyer. I switched my home and auto insurance to Skype.
You're hearing the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED.
Appreciate you being here. Joseph Vasquez joins me right now. He is the Business Associate Editor at MRC Business, which is actually partnering up rather with the Bongino Report into the Soros Empire. And today being Earth Day, we just have to talk to you about this, Joseph. Welcome to the show. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Earth Day, yet another sacred Gaia, semi-religious holiday, depending on where you come from in the political spectrum here.
Of course, this is when the left all genuflect to Mother Earth, right?
Yes, to Mother Earth, and the pagans are out there, you know, dancing by the firelight, and I don't know, but anyway,
chanting and God knows what else.
Exactly. Exactly. Media Research Center, though, thinks that it's a good idea to know just where a lot of what we're thinking of is grassroots movement when it comes to climate and Mother Earth and Earth Day and whatever it else. You actually had a 3-month investigation of this. What did you find out?
Well, of course, we did a 3-month investigation into the Soros Empire, and what we found was truly astonishing. I mean, we found about 345 different eco-activist groups that the Soros Empire has funded across the world to push Soros' dark open society agenda, first through the elder Soros and now through his son, Alex, who admittedly is his much more political son. Mm-hmm. And also, we found out that in total commitments and spending between 2016 and 2024, the Soros Empire has spent, get this, $618 million to ensure that his vision for the world is accomplished. You know, Soros once said in 1993, according to the Independent, this will just tell your listeners, you know, what kind of person we're dealing with. Quote, this is from Soros, quote, "It is sort of a disease when you consider yourself some kind of God, the creator of everything. But I feel comfortable about it now since I began to live it out." End quote. Need I say more?
Yeah. Hey, yeah, I'm kind of okay with it now that, you know, now that I've been doing it, it's fine. I am a God. All right.
Exactly. So you're using, he's using the ever-evolving amorphous issue of climate change to encourage governments to, you know, to crack down regulatory policies on their own people and to completely phase out fossil fuels and oil, things that we depend on to live. Yeah, this is exactly what Soros' agenda features.
I have to ask you, Joseph, is part of this with Soros, and I wonder about many other leftists, and especially the climate change cult, is it one of these things where they are so wealthy, they're kind of irritated that everybody else is able to live pretty close to the lifestyle that they do, maybe not with all the money and going into the big things, but, you know, they have a nice house, relatively comfortable, you know, comfortable vehicle, and they have mobility, able to go. And sometimes they go on vacations, too. And
exactly.
And there's a part of me that wonders if this is, I mean, what's the point of being a wealthy super billionaire if a regular working schmo is able to get in a current in the way the world has been run up until recently, a lot of the same things. And I'm wondering if that's part of it. This is the, you know, this is how we really do it. We convince them that the world is dying. We'll still be on our yachts, and you, on the other hand, will be in a mud hut.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because Soros has no problems using the tools of capitalism in order to generate his own wealth and then to push forth policies that then crack down on everyone else. I mean, think about it. The Guardian, I think, reported in 2015 that Soros Fund Management, that's his investment firm, had bought 1 million shares in Peabody, quote, the world's largest private coal company, and 500,000 shares in Arch, another coal company around that time. Think about it. So he's against coal, he's against fossil fuels, but he had no problem investing in it when it was lucrative to him. But that's ultimately what the Soros brand and then its relative Marxism, what it ends up achieving. It claims to be, you know, the champion of the little guy. But what it ends up doing is creating the very elite class that they claim to despise. It's a complete inversion of results. And what it tries to do is to keep people from being able to become independent and free thinking. That's the kind of society that Soros hates.
And I think it's also about keeping the third world poor. Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly. Perfect. It's amazing, because Soros, actually, Alex Soros, you know, this is part of the tally that we did. He announced $400 million in commitments to the Global South for climate change agitprop just last year, and yet, and towards the Global South. And the whole premise is that the Global North, all of the developed countries, are responsible for putting climate change burdens on the South. So that bourgeoisie proletariat thing has now been expanded to geopolitical issues. Now it's the Global North, you know, oppressing the Global South. And the Global North needs to pay reparations to it. The whole same Marxist nonsense has now been extended to the systemic level. It's crazy.
Joseph Vasquez once again, and he's the business associate editor at MRC here. Could you almost then suspect practically any time we have a gangrene group pop up here in Southern Oregon that somewhere there is probably a George Soros connection or funding to it? Does it go that deeply? Because you talk about hundreds of these organizations.
Of course. And, you know, this was just the climate issue that we found. This is just what he spent on climate issues. He's involved in almost pretty much every leftist pet project that you can imagine going on in the world right now. As a matter of fact, one of the groups that we profiled that Soros funded in our report is called C40 Cities. And it's a global collection of mayors across the world, including in the United States, that is dedicated to implementing their own version of a Green New Deal to get around, like, for example, what President Trump is refusing to implement, that kind of a thing, refusing the Paris Agreement. So now the C40 Cities group is trying to get the mayors to institute those policies instead and pick up the bill. And OSF, the Open Society Foundations, which is Soros' organization, is directly involved in making that initiative happen.
I can't help but think that when Governor Brown, our past governor, not the current governor, ended up doing an executive order mandating climate-friendly, equitable communities in our major cities. If you were going to do any kind of developing, you would have to bend the knee to this climate change thing. Is there any evidence that that Soros would influences the Oregon governor and government?
Well, who knows? He very well may have some connections to C40 cities. We have no idea, but it's definitely something worth looking into. I wouldn't be surprised if he is. All I do know is that this particular group, the co-chair of this group, if this doesn't show you how extreme enough it is, the co-chair of this group is Sadiq Khan, the extremist London mayor that's responsible for the extreme spike in crime that was going on in London.
And I guess even in London now, London is no longer for Englishmen. Is that what I'm hearing from the?
That's pretty much the gist of it. And guess this, it gets even better. The president of the board of directors of the C40 cities is none other than former mayor Michael Bloomberg, who's also invested hundreds of millions to wipe out coal from the United States.
But you know, I have never ever seen Michael Bloomberg fly coach. Have you?
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, he probably spews more CO2 emissions than the average American. That's for sure. So hypocrisy much?
Yeah. So I guess the point here, Joseph, is that you're getting this information out, this report. This is a 3-month investigation here to unveil this leftist network here. Is there anything that the Trump administration can do to tamp down the worst influences of this? Or is it, you know, all pretty much a First Amendment protected sort of stuff and you just got to fight fire with fire, so to speak?
Well, here's one thing that they can do. And first of all, I want to give a major shout out to my co-author, Matt Palumbo from Bongino Report. He really helped me with the research with this. But what the Trump administration can do is exactly what they've been doing with Doge and Elon Musk. Find out if any of these groups that Soros has been funding has been receiving funds from the government, whether it be USAID or any others, and cut it off. Cut it off immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, stop sending our tax dollars to these crazy left-wing groups that are trying to create some sort of eco-utopia in this world. You know, it's very simple. Just go, you know, find out if any money is going to any of these crazy left-wing groups and just cut off the spigot. That's it. Just cut off whatever is fueling their machine. Tax dollars should not be going anywhere near that. And that's what I think that President Trump and Elon Musk can do in the short term.
Joseph, how can people get a copy of this report or read it? Where do they go?
You can go to newsbusters.org. It's right there on the main page. You can also look it up by looking me up, Joseph Vasquez, at newsbusters.org on Google. Mm-hmm. It's literally the first story that I have up there. It's right there on the main page. You can click it. The PDF is right there at the bottom of the executive summary that we have. You can click the link and you can share it with your friends. So it's very easily accessible.
You know, just because of the way these people, these Marxists, these leftists, these control agents seem to go about it, doesn't it make you want to burn a tire for Earth Day some days? You know, just spite them. Not that I really want to, but you know what I'm getting at? You just get that way.
Well, it's kind of ironic because the left has been burning Teslas, that's for sure.
Very good point. Joseph, good talk. I appreciate it. And thanks for sharing the details about this 3 months investigation. Very good work. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Joseph Vasquez once again, and he's the business associate or the associate editor of MRC Business. It is 6:29.
Ready to upgrade your roof to
drilling.com.
News Talk 106.3 KMET. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Well, I was checking the price of gold last night. Let me just do a quick check this morning. I always go to Burt's Gold page on LouRockwell.com because I just like Lou Rockwell. I consider Lou Rockwell a must-read every day. Wow, it is still $34.28 is where we're talking about. I think that's about it actually briefly touched $35.06. Yeah, overnight. Gold is definitely on a tear at this point. And a year ago, it was about $2,600. So, yeah, we're talking up about 25% in 1 year. And it almost looks as if gold is starting to reassert or regain its monetary status, given the fact you have the central banks that are buying it hand over fist. And of course, you know, maybe you're thinking, is it too late to get into it? I don't know. I don't know. If you were looking to stack a little bit of gold for the just-in-case kind of thing, it seems like it's just continuing to grind high. You know, there could be a pullback, Or maybe you're looking at 34, 3506 and thinking, I've got scrap gold and I'd like to get some money for that right now because it's sitting in my drawer doing nothing. Silver, by the way, up to about just under $33 this morning. But who do you take it to? The recognized experts. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland at 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. I think normally they have that store open on Monday, but you can call 482-3715 and get an appointment one way or the other. Also head to fortunereserve.com. Fortunereserve.com. Jay Austin and Company. Really helping out talk radio, helping out you, and helping you on the wealth side, whether you're looking to buy it or sell it, okay? All right. FortuneReserve.com. All right. Some of the other headlines going on this morning. I was just thinking about this story when Vicky from the Applegate called. KOBI reporting that DA's office dropping a murder charge against a man after a shooting at a pot processing facility in Rouge. This happened back in 2022, November of 2022. Jackson County Sheriff's officers said there that a 31-year-old Jacksonville man, Luis Zavala, was shot and killed. The sheriff said that Jose Alfredo Sotelo Palma of Sinaloa, Mexico, was the shooter. He pleaded not guilty to multiple charges, including second-degree murder. Thursday, the DA's office announced that it couldn't bring the case to court. New witnesses had come forward, which would impair the state's ability to proceed to trial. That's according to a KOBI. That is interesting. I'm wondering what, obviously it must have been exculpatory evidence of some sort or somebody coming out and saying, well, it didn't exactly play out the way that maybe sheriff's officers first thought when they brought this. So pretty interesting. So the murder charges have been dropped. He's going free, I guess. Oregonian reporting this morning. More Oregonians are holding down multiple jobs. The share of Oregonians working two or more jobs has exploded over the past 2 years, they're writing, to its highest point in more than a decade. About 6% of Oregon workers holding down multiple jobs, according to the latest state and Fed data, about 1 in 16 workers overall. And the share of Oregonians working at different jobs has been up in each of the last 2 years. It generally became rarer in Oregon since 1995, but that trend started reversing after the pandemic recession. So, we're working extra jobs to try to pay the extra bills. Intuitively, you might think that people work multiple jobs during hard times and workers need more income to pay the bills, but the state's saying that the story's more complicated than that. Other state figures showing that wood products still a key part of Oregon's economy. I wouldn't have thought that. Gosh, you would have thought that this would have been, given how much this has been fought against by the environmental left. But new data from the Oregon Employment Department showing that although wood manufacturing jobs are far fewer than 3 decades ago, still an important part. And it looks to be number 3. Wood products manufacturing, including sawmills, plywood, and engineered wood products, millwork, and prefab buildings, particularly important in Curry County. It's 11, almost 12% of payroll, and Douglas County, 8.5% or so. I'm wondering if President Trump's order to open up more than half of the nation's forests for renewed timber harvest might be boosting that here. I wonder if they'll be able to do that in the state of Oregon. Well, I know they would be doing this on federally controlled land. Well, Lampin' Week had an interesting story. Oregon House the other day passed a bill, 51-2, cracking down on illicit massage parlors. House Bill 3189A. This was sponsored by a couple of Democrats, Representative Thu Tran from Portland and Senator Kathleen Taylor, another communist from Portland. It would increase the fine for operating a illegal massage parlor from $1,000 to $5,000 per violation. It would allow the Oregon Board of Massage Therapists to post signs in illegal businesses warning customers away. Oh, so the legal competition gets to go out there and go after their illegal competition. That's kind of an interesting way of going about it, don't you think? It would also increase the maximum charge for repeat offenders from a misdemeanor to a Class C felony, punishable by up to 5 years in prison, $125,000 fine. Wow. So I guess this has to do with a lot of the sex workers, essentially sex shops that are have set up in Portland. This is in response to this. I guess it's going to go on to the Senate now. I know that there's a friend. I don't know if he's still alive any longer, but he was a 3-star general that I knew. He and his wife used to live here in Southern Oregon. They moved up to Seattle a few years back, and he was ailing physically at that point. They haven't really stayed much in contact. But this this general was telling me, retired 3-star general was telling me, or maybe he's 2-star, retired 2-star general, was telling me about how he went to one of those massage parlors. There was the massage parlor over in the Winco Shopping Center. Now, this was a number of years ago. It may have been cleaned up since that time. But there was a massage parlor at that point that he went there just thinking he was there to going to get a massage. That's all he wanted. This was about 7-8 years ago. He's telling me this story. And then at the end, the massage therapist, well, I don't know if it's an official massage therapist, but a therapist of some sort, basically trying to go for the happy ending for an extra charge. And I don't know if Medford police ever did anything about that. I haven't been over and looked, but apparently this is nothing unusual, and they're going to crack down on it with the state legislature. And with the state legislature cracking down on it, I'm sure that will take care of the problems, because we know that anything that the state legislature works to alleviate a problem in society is usually going to be taken care of right away. It's not going to be a problem. They will take care of it. Nothing to be concerned about. All right. Since it is Earth Day, a couple of contradictory stories here involving the Trump administration. One of them from the Capitol Press, first off. Trump administration proposes to drop habitat modification as a violation of the Endangered Species Act. So in other words, anytime you change anything about some critter's environment, that's considered a violation of the Endangered Species Act. Only humans have to adapt to environment, right? That's, I think, the way that the ESA has tended to look at things. But the Trump administration is going to exclude habitat modification as a potential violation of ESA. The ESA prohibits harming endangered and threatened species. The Interior Department has long defined harm to mean habitat changes that jeopardize populations of protected species. So they're going to work on changing the rules. Meanwhile, we have an environmental group suing the Trump administration to save the Crater Lake newt. Yes, a cute little newt here. This, according to the Oregonian, a cute little newt has found itself in the middle of a fight between the Enviros, the Gangrenes, and the Trump administration. Center for Biological Diversity last week announces its intention to file a lawsuit over the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's failure to protect the Crater Lake newt, also known as the Mazama newt, which the environmental organization said is critically imperiled. So they're thinking about listing the newt following a petition there. And those cuts will make it. But anyway, what they're they're suing the Trump administration, not because of what they've been doing to the newt, but because they're cutting the money. Oh, this is a response to DOGE. I wanted to make sure you knew. Oh, I see. So any kind of cut to the Environmental Protection Agency, those cuts will make it harder to protect the newt, which is currently threatened. So there we go. The Center for Biological Diversity, there for the federal trough status quo. And how's your day going, huh? It's a minute after 7. This is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.